This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
You just heard a nice recap montage version of the Boston Celtics two-game experience from the weekend. Friday night, a loss to the Cavaliers, and then a nice bounce-back win on Sunday against the Nuggets. WEEI Afternoons here, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Hart, to talk all things Boston sports. Sneaky big sports weekend. A lot going on, a lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of fun. And I want to start with Friday night, Fitzy. Actually, I want to start, Fitzy, by telling you, you are quite fortunate because you could have had cynical D-bag Andy show up. You could have had the guy that bitches about traffic and rerouting and accidents, but no. No. Sun's out, guns out. Spring is coming. So you got optimistic, Andy.
It's crispy outside, though.
But it's still sunny out.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like 20 degrees.
It's sunny out.
No, but it makes a difference when you can see the sunshine, Steve.
Yes.
Because if it's 75 and ishy outside, then I'm still in a mood.
Or, correct.
You know, things may go down. Give me 28 crisp and just like a nice little a vitamin D, and you get some optimism.
But pause there. So
it's a natural organic element.
I could come in bitching about being rerouted off the highway twice and accidents. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? Optimistic Andy. Sun's out. Happiness is here. Waze, thank you. My Waze
nice.
App, thank you. You saved my butt because I've never had this happen before, Fitzy, but it rerouted me. So I'm getting back on 24. And I look and I'm like, yeah, there's no cars to merge into. So I look in the rearview mirror.
Oh, 24, otherwise known as the Autobahn of the
awful.
South Shore.
So I look back. There is just a line of lights, sirens, and no...
It's such a great story.
Totally shut your hole, John McClane. I'm being positive here. It was totally shut down. So literally, people are doing like... You say Autobahn. I was doing... I'm not going to say the exact mileage per hour, but it's against the law.
Does it rhyme with Frady Tive?
Rhymes higher than Frady Five.
Oh, Finty Tive.
And people were blowing by me. It was like everybody realized, well, all the cops and everybody are back at that accident, and there's no one else on the highway coming up on us, so we might as well make up the time we lost while being rerouted through Greater Brockton.
And nice. Seems responsible.
Andy, whenever I used to go visit my old man, RIP, he was at the Bay Point Skilled Nursing and Rehab Center down in Brockton, and I would come off 93 or 128 or whatever the hell you call it there.
All of
and
those,
pull
on yes.
to pull onto all through all 95, 107. You could make up a couple highways, doesn't matter. And I would go down 24 heading your way and get off in Brockton. And I wouldn't say cook, but I would do a comfortable 70, 75. And I would have to do it from the center or the right lane.
Yep. That's...
Because people absolutely just find out what their fifth gear is capable of on 24. It is a drag strip.
And when there's no traffic, that's what saves me from having a 2-hour commute and cuts it down to an hour and a half because everybody's doing 85 miles.
officer, I was going with the flow of traffic. I didn't want to slow anybody down, so I'm just going the safe speed of traffic.
I always feel that is a viable explanation whenever you hear a woo.
Knock on wood, I hope I never have to use it, hopefully. Anyway, so I'm optimistic. Waze got me here. Waze, great job. Boston Celtics, Friday. I told you, Fitzy, I was prescient. It doesn't happen very often, so I'm taking a minor victory lap. I told you it was a 30-30 game. It was a 30
both
JB,
of us.
30 Tatum, and it was actually almost a 40-40 game. But that was... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say both of us actually were right on the money, because if we were smart, we would have combined my best bet of the night with your best bet of the night, and we would have been making some money, honey. I told you, going into the game, I believe... Dan Ball told us 26.5 was the point total over under for Donovan Mitchell, who I had told you earlier in the show averages 35.5 against the Celtics over the last 4 years, I believe. He is a Celtic killer, which, of course, proved quite relevant to the game on Friday night as well. So if you were with your 30-30 on Tatum and Brown and me easily smashing the over on 26.5, I mean, the guy had 41. We basically, you're welcome, Massachusetts. The Commonwealth should be very wealthy on this particular day.
And then you got what was, in my opinion, I have CTE, so limited memory, probably my favorite 7-point loss to a rival after leading a game 25-3 in the history of basketball.
This better not be Moral Victory Monday.
No,
I mean,
no,
I'm in a good
victories.
Enough mood that I'll tolerate it.
So. No. It was, boy, did you entertain me Monday. That was a ridiculously entertaining basketball game. The way it started, the way the Garden was rocking, then the way it went the other way. Donovan Mitchell is a dog.
He's a legitimate Celtic killer at this point.
Absolutely. But he's also just a dog. Like, that's a guy with the game on the line. Earmuffs, green teamers, game on the line. And you give me the choice of Tatum or Donovan Mitchell, I'll tell you who I'm taking, and it ain't Tatum. It's Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, so you'd be taking Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. Absolutely. Now, I might take JB as well, because I like JB. But JB more of a starter than a finisher these days, and I'm okay with that.
All right, if you had a final shot of the game. Final shot of the game.
Yeah.
Pritchard, Derek White, or Donovan Mitchell?
I gave you two
guys on our team.
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah.
He's got ice in his veins,
He's man. That damn good, and they split the season series. Obviously, the Cavs are sort of running away with the number one seed, but that's a series that I dream of. Give me that as your Eastern Conference final. 7 games, and I know they won't all be like that, because, again, not sure I've seen a lot of games. So I put up a poll. We usually don't get into it till the second segment, but since I'm already feuding with people on Twitter, we'll get into it a little early. I put up a simple poll, Fitzy, basically a measure your glass check of Celtics fans coming out of the weekend. Did you take away the fact that they build 20-point leads against really good opponents? Or did you take away they also tend to blow 20-point leads against really good opponents? And everybody was, you never seen an NBA game before? No, I've never seen a game that started 25-3 where the three ended up winning. Like, that was a remarkable start.
That was it. The Celtics couldn't have come out any hotter, and I hate to say it, Andy. You can call this game 6 syndrome, not game 4, where they had the lead and could have taken it to 3-1 against the Warriors a couple of years ago, a game for which I was in the building. Damn, it still hurts the way the Celtics played at the end of that third and that fourth quarter. But game 6, do you remember? They were up, I think it was like 14-2 on the Warriors in game 6, and that was it. Tatum hit a big 3. It was like, we're going back to the Bay Area. This is going to go 7, and the dog has shown some fight. And then what they did was laid over like dogs, rolled up, and showed everybody their belly, and they ended up getting smoked in that game. I worry about big leads with the Celtics. I'll go back, I want to say, 5
years
ago.
First time you watched an NBA game, Fitzy. Oh, no. That's how league works.
Please, I don't even want to get into it.
These are your people.
No, they're not. They're not. I even texted Curtis Saturday when I was listening to the Mustard and Johnson of a New Generation. Kenan Curtis, and I texted him because he was tearing into Celtics fans a little bit, or giving him the business, and I'm sure the text line was lit up like the Griswold family Christmas tree with anti-Curtis and anti-EEI sentiments. I don't understand why. You tell me, Andy, honestly, full straight up assessment, you know, retruth the hell out of this if you want to. Here, give me the truth social. Was it this way? Like, was every Patriots fan excuse laden? Like, was there no one thing we could accept a criticism for? Was it always, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Brady will show up in the playoffs. Could you not criticize a single element of anything the Patriots did during the double dynastic run? Because I swear to God, if I stay away from Twitter now during Celtics games. Because if I were to just say something like, man, that was an awesome start, but what a disappointing finish. It would be one retweet, seven likes, and 50 of the nastiest responses you'd ever see. It's unbelievable. Why has this happened?
So, in a serious tone, I do blame you. And I'm being a little bit serious.
Me?
Do blame you and your boy.
Individually, or nope. Is this a me people?
You helped lead you people with Jerry Thornton. I think you two guys quite happily took sort of the crown of the face and the voice and the fan-turned-media guys of Patriot Nation.
Dude, you have any idea how many people I used to get in clapback wars with when I would be mad about a Gostkowski miss, a Belichick call, a big receiver drop? People hated me. Oh, you're urinating down the front of your pants again, Fitzgerald. Why are you such a sissy baby?
Wow, sissy baby. That's not very nice. Actually, that's actually quite nice for Twitter. They go much, much harder than that. But no, you guys.
I can't say what people used to call me.
You guys helped create this monster, and then you lost control of it. Somewhere along the way, this monster of oversensitive Patriot fans. But the flip side, I will tell you, you're correct. Green teamers and Celtics fans are, whatever the factor is of X, more sensitive than Patriots fans.
So it's basically, it's like a mutation. Like, we gave birth to this creature of Boston sports-centric sensitivity, and now it has grown to a point where instead of being able to call in the National Guard to handle it, like, there are high-level discussions being had at a national level, like, we may have to nuke Boston sportsdom.
Which I find funny, because this just took a turn that I didn't expect coming, but that's why
I love these
live
kind
radio
of discussions. Absolutely. They're real fan-centric discussions.
Both of these fan bases became, for a lack of a better word, bitchy, defensive and bitchy, under coaches who the media worked with in terms of Belichick and Mazzulla. Are both coaches that look for the negative even in the positives, right? Like, Belichick was known for, we won 40-7.
I like where this is going. Go ahead.
But I'm
going
to talk about you missed a sack, you missed a block, you missed a this, like, that was Belichickian. He wasn't, as he once said, quite honestly, I'm not real big on positive reinforcement. Yet somehow, you people that you led, along with Jerry Thornton.
We were trying to be a different breed, son.
Created a fan base that couldn't take criticism, that couldn't take a realistic look at a win or a loss during the dynasty era. And I think the Celtics are the same. Like, I guarantee you Joe Mazzulla is not happy in just saying, well, you ever see an NBA game? There's runs. I think he's probably saying, guys, Why we blow a 25-3 lead? Like, what happened there with the energy, the effort, the attitude, the play?
Why did Tatum have to yell "Get the f out of here" at them, and then basically incite Garland and Mitchell and everybody else to want to, like, oh really? Well, we'll show you. We happen to be the number one seed in the East for a reason, buddy.
But the bitchy Celtics fan, the green teamer, doesn't want to acknowledge that. Oh, that's just NBA basketball. You can't criticize that. You can't criticize Tatum. You can't.
Better 18 wasn't good enough for you, bro.
Exactly. Well, guess what? It wasn't, because that was last year. And I'm pretty sure Joe Mazzulla aspires for banner 19.
Did you just call him Show Mazzulla?
I'm fired up here, because you brought me down a road that I do think is accurate. This comparison between Patriots fans during the success, not now, different world now for the Patriots, Patriots fans during the success, and Celtics fans during the success, and how they handle it, how they handle criticism. And we know the cesspool that is social media that evolved and grew over the second half of the Patriots dynasty, and certainly now for what everybody hopes is a Celtics dynasty. But I'm sorry, to look at these two games against what are a team we hope you face in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then a team that you could face in the NBA Finals. We talked about it on Friday. You got a 4-game stretch coming up here. You're now 1-1 through the first two. I think 2-2 is fine through this 4-game stretch against would-be championship contenders that could be in your way. And, oh, by the way, this year, have their star players healthy right now at the very least?
Big difference from last year, by the way.
Oh, don't say that to green teamers. But oh, easy.
That is what...
Fitzy, I thought you were one of us. Now you joined that hot-ass hot on the radio and you got to be a jackass.
Yeah, we got a seat for you over at the worst bar because the greatest bar has no room for you guys.
You're kicked out of the club. You've been kicked out of the club.
You know what?
You're not cool enough for their turtle club.
What I've done for Boston sports in general and especially Pat's Nation isn't good enough. That's fine. I'll take my empty Narragansetts and go home. Andy, this is what exactly why this weekend was so fascinating with the Celtics. And it was such an amazing weekend. Again, we keep getting... This is the second or third week in a row we had another sneaky big sports weekend and Boston sports weekend overall when this is supposed to be the dead time. I'm more interested in a lot of the conversations, threads and veins that are coming out of right now as opposed to like, oh man, 20 NFL games, the Patriots, this, that, and the other to discuss. Like, no, this is really when the cards get played, people reveal themselves to be who we think they are. And I found this weekend to be fascinating before we even get into the cornucopia, the treasure trove of football we have to discuss all week long. I found this weekend to be fascinating for the Celtics because they were front runners on Friday night. And yes, I understand they're without Jrue Holiday. They didn't have Porzingis in either game, but you can't have it both ways. If you're good enough to be up by 22 against the best team in the league without them, you should be good enough to hold that 22-point lead. And then when you blow that lead against that team, you can't say, well, we didn't have Holiday and Porzingis. Well, you were good enough to be up double digits early, smoke them, and almost want to run them out of the building. At the same time, it was really exciting to see the Celtics hold on Sunday when they almost blew another lead. And to borrow from our friend Al Horford, ainda estu aquí. They are, I am still here. That's what he put on IG after the game.
Oh, nice.
It was great. It was great to see Derek White come up in the clutch, Al Horford come up in the clutch against a Nuggets team. Remember when they beat them earlier this year on the road, Andy? There was no Jokic.
Right.
Now you had the Nuggets more full cap.
And Jokic was good.
Yeah. He's honest. Does anyone put up an easier triple-double than this guy? It's unbelievable.
No. That's why he's the best basketball player on the planet. But looking at this in totality, first of all, let's go back to Friday night for one more minute. Friday night. You know the old coach's cliche, you can't win a basketball game or a football game in the first quarter, but you can lose it? Mm-hmm. I think this disproved that. I think the Cavs did everything they could to try to lose that basketball game in the first quarter. When you go down 25-3, that is well on your way to losing, and they didn't. They came back, but it did prove to the Celtics, who I do think are, I don't file this under play with your food. You know how people have used that phrase to describe them over the years when they get these big leads against lesser teams?
Yeah, and also futz around and find out. Yep.
Right, but this, to me, this doesn't fall under that. You shouldn't have that be an issue against the Cavs. The Cavs are 6 games ahead of you in the standings. Whatever it is, they're going to be the number one seed. You're going to have to play in their building if you go on a 7-game series, all of that. So you shouldn't be playing with your food there.
I am already getting sweaty Memorial Day palms, by the way, Andy. I have a feeling you and I are going to be doing shows around one of your favorite holidays. Like, I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
But I'm going to be entertained as all hell. And you know, for me, that's where it starts. Do I want them to compete for Banner 19? Absolutely. But if you can give me that kind of entertainment value, the way those two teams slugged it out, this was like one of those fake fights in a boxing movie, Rocky or Creed or whatever, where it would almost impossible to have in real life because both guys would be knocked out in like the second round.
Oh, it's the fight at the end of Rocky III, the watercolor painting.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what this was, and it was just slugging it out. Three, oh, I'll hit your three. And the stars, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, doing their parts as, you know, the lead role guys. This was as excited in a loss as I've been maybe ever. Maybe ever, and I know that's maybe too soft for some people or green teamy for others. I'm just being real to you.
It's a great barometer because you played differently than you have by getting out to that big lead. Then you couldn't hold it, but you slugged back. Your star, who you've been trying to prod into having Mamba-like moments, played his ass off and almost put up a 50-burger in defeat, no less. And it wasn't just because it was a Tatum night, not a Jaylen night. Jaylen goes for 37 as well. The supporting cast kind of sagged a little bit when you needed him. But yes, you can point to the fact that if you have another game like that, hopefully with Mallet Finger McGee and the Zinger back, you may be able to actually overcome those Cavs. And everybody, of course, we'll discuss the teams in the other conferences. The show progresses as well. And I think we may have to add a third team now, Andy, to teams out west with the Celtics that should probably start worrying about. And there's going to be a big primetime game coming up against them real soon. But there's a lot to learn from both of these games, and just chalk it up to great weekend for this great weekend to be a basketball fan in Boston. How about that?
617-779-7937. Fitzy's right. It was a great weekend for Green Teamers basketball fans. It wasn't two great wins. There was a strange loss in there, an entertaining loss. So what was your takeaway, Green Teamers? Are you more focused on the fact that two of the best teams in the NBA came to Boston and your team led both games by 20-plus points at some point and did split the games, got a victory out of one of them? Or are you a little more negative, maybe a little more cynical, maybe a little more old school? Are you worried about the blowing of leads, the blowing of 20-point leads against good basketball teams, maybe the inability to put away good basketball teams, something that could become an issue on the horizon of the NBA playoffs? We'll talk about that next. We'll give you the poll results, which are swayed in a direction I didn't necessarily expect when I posted this poll today. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, for the first time today, the first time this week, the great Dan Ball and his great trending.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening.
listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
As Stiz would say, that was Richard Jefferson talking about the Boston Celtics.
Why would Stiz say it in that particular voice?
That's a question you'll have to bring up to Stiz.
I did. Off the air, he came in here, and I said, I got Richard Jefferson.
But he said it very, like, enunciated, like, proper and fancy, like he was graduating.
He doesn't go by Dick Jefferson. He's Richard Jefferson.
Oh, Dick Jeff.
Dicky Jeff.
DJ Jazzy Dick Jeff. Remember that?
He would be quit while you're ahead.
That drop,
quit
please?
While you're ahead.
I wouldn't call that ahead.
Excuse me? Pause.
Sorry.
Yeah, multiple pauses necessary.
A lot going
Thank
on
you,
there.
Honor.
Celtics, two games this weekend, Friday night, come out, just blow doors to a 25-3 lead, and then blow said lead to lose the game to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 123-116. Cavs split the series with the Celtics. Cavs look like they're just going to run away with the number one seed. Sunday, Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets at the Garden. Celtics build a 20-point lead. See 20-point lead get cut down to 3 was the lowest, right, Fitzy? I believe 3 was the as close as it got.
Yeah, I think it did get within a single
possession
shot effort of tying the game.
So they turned a 20-point game into a one-possession game, but they finished the job. Derek White came up clutch. Yes, the Celtics have been without Porzingis and Drew Holiday. And the Drew Holiday thing, have we had any, I haven't seen any more definitive information. Did I miss that? Has there been like a more definitive rundown timetable, mallet finger thing?
Late last week, Andy, there was the whole, some have played through it. For some, it's a short-term injury, and some have had to deal with it for months, and it's disabled them at length. This is almost in a lot of ways kind of like crossing sports. The way people are trying to are thinking about or discussing the Abdul Carter thing, where it's like some people play with stress reactions, some people rest them and let them heal up on their own, and some get the surgery now so as to preserve their top four draft pick.
And similarly to Drew Holiday, it's like, can you have this taken care of? How long can you get back and you be at your best? And Dan Ball, yes.
We do not have a timetable, but he is not having surgery, wearing a splint on the finger. And because of the pain, he hasn't even resumed any kind of basketball activities yet. So very early in whatever the process is going to be.
That does sound painful.
No es bueno, Dan Ball.
I feel like the splint is therefore basically straightening out his finger. Is that how I should take it?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the I guess how it looks is that it. The way it was described in WebMD last week was it droops. So you kind of do have to realign
Sadly.
It, essentially.
Guff.
I'll pause
awful.
Myself again.
Yeah, so that sounds like it's drooping and your splint is now straightening it out again. I don't know. I don't love this, but I also, do I think they're capable of winning the NBA title without Drew Holiday? Yes. If they have no Drew Holiday and no Porzingis, I think that road gets a little tougher.
Well, what we don't want, Andy, let me go back 2 years. What we don't want is Drew Holiday. I agree with you. But what we don't want is Drew Holiday coming back a la the way. Remember in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat, Malcolm Brogdon was as useful as a one-arm man in a rowboat because he had that forearm issue and he was just airballing threes. And they would have been better off playing without him, but they inserted him in Game 7 because Tatum rolled his ankle and he was useless. We can't have Drew Holiday basically being the equivalent of Brogdon from two conference finals ago. Either get him back at 80% to 100%, or he's just going to have to ride this one out.
Okay, so I said before the trending by Dan Ball that I was going to give the results of today's poll over on Twitter at Jumbo Hart, and the question again was, what do you take most away from the Celtics' recent games against elite competition? Build big leads, blow big leads. Very simple. Kind of probably gets to your core, and whether you're optimistic or pessimistic. Build big leads, Fitzy. 31%. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you're not a math major, but I think you could do the math rather quickly. Blow big leads has 69% of the votes. Yes, nice, but not nice. That means, A, they blow big leads, and B,
what happened?
There's a few more non-green teamers, at least on my Twitter feed, than I would have expected. I'm a little surprised by that. I thought it would be close to 50-50. I thought it would actually trend positive. If you had made me guess, I would have thought like 55-45, build big leads, green teamers, we're awesome. Oh, we could score, Tatum, Brown, the whole thing. I'm a little surprised that at this point in the season, and the other fact is, we had sort of put to bed our concerns with the Celtics, right? We had that whole stretch December into January where it was like, up and down and lose games they shouldn't and all this. And then they had that nice stretch. We were feeling good. Tatum's shooting good. Tatum's getting all these assists. Tatum's a triple-double guy. All of those things. Well, now I feel like questions are seeping in. Yesterday, not a great shooting day for Jason Tatum. Still distributed a little bit. I will say, the opposite of that is the uptick in Jaylen Brown. He's starting to shoot the ball well. He's starting to shoot the three well. So, yes, I'm a Jaylen Brown guy. But that's a nice uptick. I know he's talking about this knee that continues to bother him. But he looks like he's rounding into form late in the season. And I think that's good for your Eastern Conference Finals MVP and NBA Finals MVP. So, Fitzy, I'm assuming. Wait, I don't want to assume. Because you know what happens when you do that. So I won't assume.
Ask me, yeah.
How did you vote in this poll?
The blowing the leads part. Hello?
Sorry, two people talking to me at once. I had a stizz in my ear and a Fitzy in my face. It's a tough way to go through life.
How many drops are you going to give stizz to just use against you in a court of radio law?
So, Fitzy,
I went with option B. BBL, WBBL, below big leads.
Okay, so you're
which,
usually
by the way,
negative.
Is now trending up. It's at about 70% now. It's
Stiz,
climbing.
Did I hear you say in my ear that we have maybe a little breaking news?
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
Dan Ball.
The Cincinnati Bengals have placed the $26.2 million franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins.
So we might be a little loose and liberal with the use of the breaking news there. I think a lot of people expected this may come, but it has officially happened. And Mr. Cap Poster, remember he, what was it, last week? That was Friday, Thursday when he
Mr.
posted.
Cap, are you talking about Miguel over at Pat's Cap?
No. I'm talking about T. Higgins, who posted Cap in reply to his general manager's assertion that they were looking to sign him to a long-term deal. Well, for right now, they'll do so under the franchise tag. Yet again, T. Higgins, the number two receiver for the Bengals, the dream number one receiver for the Patriots, for a lot of us Patriots fans out there. Some of us have been annoyingly talking about it for two-plus years now, and now
some
he's
Some of us
limited.
Have had to listen to it for two-plus years.
I know, I'm sorry. That. Well, guess what? Now he's franchise-tagged, now he's limited.
Oh, he didn't get franchised.
He got franchised.
Andy, this is actually significant. I agree. I wouldn't necessarily go to the breaking news sounder. Maybe we should craft one like, and now, in expected news. But that's, I guess you could use that drop. But this is kind of significant because last week or the week prior, we've talked a lot of sports recently. It's just going to keep happening. Deal with it, people. We talked about, we compared like NFL.com with Bleacher Report and I believe another website, all of their top 100 rankings for free agents heading into the 2025 free agency period. Every list had T. Higgins as numero uno. So now the top target for any team. Denver Broncos, Los Angeles Chargers, your New England Patriots, Houston Texans, gone, donezo, see ya.
Yeah, I feel like, unfortunately, this is going to be the trend over the next few days here as we head towards the start of free agency is the top targets on the free agent market being removed from the market. And this doesn't totally remove T. Higgins from the dream. You could sign him if you wanted to give up the draft picks, or you could trade for him under the franchise tender. Maybe this actually ticks him off. Who knows? Maybe this is the fly in the ointment that actually pushes him towards wanting out of Cincinnati, the idea that they are not giving him a long-term deal. But, I feel like we're going to have to start to look elsewhere. We got to be more serious about the DK Metcalfs, not Deebo Samuel. We'll get to that in a little bit.
I was going to say the potential... I won't say wide receiver one, Andy, but I'll say the potential off-season wide receiver acquisition market. Getting pretty thin these days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I feel like, this whole off-season, remember when I started with the off-season plans on the old show and they were like really exciting and fun and they involved T. Higgins and Will Campbell and Micah Parsons? I don't
know. Oh, and then you were talking about, and then you're like, oh, we're going to get Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I had that in there. Yeah, I had that in there.
Maybe as a good reason you got a new car because there may have been like a gas leak or fumes in the previous one.
No, I think I was balancing out the negativity of Christian Arcand. I blame him. I'm just going to blame him for that.
That's what everyone said.
Yeah, it's always me, the negative one out there. Yeah, definitely not Andy Hart.
No, do the one that you say.
I hate this. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I really hate it. 617-779.
So I think there was a little bit of me trying to be a little bit more optimistic, and you look at $130 million of cap space, and you look at the, well, at that point I was dreaming of the first pick in the draft right up until Gerard Mayo screwed that and his whole apparently career up. We'll get more about that later here on WEEI Afternoons. But yeah, I was being optimistic. I thought they had all the assets for a quick turnaround. I thought they had all the assets to be really exciting and fun. And the fun seems to be getting sucked out of the market. I mean, T. Higgins, gone. Well, let's go chronologically. Number one pick, gone. Thanks, Mayo. T. Higgins, gone. Thanks, Bengals. Now what's going to be taken next? Let me guess. It rhymes with Ronnie Stanley. The best tackle on the market. I'm sure he'll be somewhere.
You could have probably put a little extra effort into trying to rhyme something with Ronnie Stanley.
I'm not in the mood to rhyme right now. The good mood went out the window. It lasted about 37 minutes until we had breaking news from Stiz.
If you know, and I know, as they like to say in the biz, we're just about to be up against it. However, talking football in that great piece by Doug Kide and Andrew Callahan over the weekend in the Boston Herald about how the offseason has gone, the differences between last year and this year, and what people should expect in free agency. Just matter of business being done in Foxborough, the draft and beyond. They hammered home the idea that big money, big burlap satchels, big old novelty bags of money are going to be waved at big, strong, fat people in the trenches, which is what we've wanted all along. If Baltimore faffos a little bit in the coming week trying to save a couple of bucks with Ronnie Stanley, there's going to be a bag waiting for him up this way, Andy. And you know what? I personally hope they do.
So we had planned to turn to the Combine, turn to the Patriots, turn to the Boston Herald. And thankfully, the Bengals helped us out with their T. Higgins transition. No, franchise tag. Transition tag's a totally different thing. That would have left the door open for the Patriots to go get him. Seems like he's off the market. Seems like the fun is being sucked out of this Patriots offseason before we begin. And we will turn our attention to that Boston Herald story, the Combine, and the one piece of news from the weekend that wasn't Celtics related that has me happy, that has me more all in on a certain horse, a dead horse that we've beaten over and over. We're going to talk about that dead horse who's alive again in Andy's mind up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
That is LSU left tackle and future Patriots left tackle, Will Campbell.
Nope.
I am all in, Fitzy. I am all in. I don't give a rat's katukus. I want to get the number right.
32 5/8 length arms.
I don't care. He can play football. He's got the face paint. He can squat a lot. He can hit a lot. He can run a lot. Did you see his 40 time? He was flying. Yeah. Sub 5:40. Do the whole damn thing. He has the attitude. He has the athleticism. And you know what I'm a little bit sick of? So they tell us that the SEC is...
This is a rant-tacular today.
A little bit. I'm fighting back against voices in my head.
What happened to Super Positive 203, Andy?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. You know, in the radio business, they say every 15 minutes it changes. So does my brain. My brain rewires itself every 5 minutes. And
CTE is a hell of a drug.
You're damn right it is. Will Campbell started at LSU for 3 years, right? I believe geographically and football wise, where do the LSU Tigers play?
There's a they play in Baton Rouge, Death Valley.
But what is the 3-letter acronym that is put to that level of football in that conference? Oh, it's SEC. I've been told.
Sometimes everybody craps. Yes,
I've been told that's the closest thing you can get to NFL football. Correct.
It is, however, as the conferences have realigned in the last couple of years, the Big 18, which is masquerading as the Big 10, also now kind of pro-level NFL adjacent. But the portal has futzed all this up.
Doesn't count anymore that he started 3 years at LSU in the SEC. That doesn't
count. Hold on a second. Let me just turn around and check the record. Oh, I don't remember saying that.
Okay. So he started at LSU. He started in the SEC for 3 years. And now we want to ask, can he play football because his arms are too short? As he said.
No one ever said, can he play football?
Yeah.
Can he play tackle at the next level? Big difference.
just like Drew Brees couldn't play quarterback at the next level because he was too short, right?
Just like a lot of other people were tackles in college and ended up being tremendous guards.
Other people that were tackles in college that ended up being tremendous tackles. I don't know. Matt Light comes to mind. Short-armed white guys that played in college that I don't know why I threw that in, but it was just seemed like I would throw it out there.
Somebody put
some
bumpers.
Is that an important characteristic for you, Andy?
No, it isn't actually, but I felt like I'd paint the whole picture, and this wasn't the picture I had to paint. So Matt Light, short arms. He is a Patriots Hall of Famer. He is a Super Bowl champion.
Dynamite football player.
Now, I would argue,
fast feet and great compete. That's what Scar would tell you.
Anybody that knows me well knows that I also was very critical at times of Matt Light because, yes, he got bitch slapped quite a bit by Jason Taylor and by, why am I drawing a blank on the Colts pass
Dwight
rush?
Freeney.
Dwight Freeney. Like those, but some would say, hey, Andy, those are Hall of Fame players, Pro Football Hall of Fame caliber players. They're going to have their successes against a lot of tackles. So, what are you looking up? What do you got?
Well, I'm just curious. So, real quick question. Let me run these by you. Okay, ready? 6'4", 310 pounds.
Love it.
Arm length 32 7/8.
Okay.
Hand size 9.5.
I'm not asking him to throw.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Good size, right?
Sure.
Those were the measurables of someone who just retired from the NFL that Will Campbell absolutely should replace in Dallas, Zach Martin.
No, why are we forcing him inside? He can play tackle. Who says he can't play tackle? You? Is that what you're saying?
I'm guessing that he would be better suited to playing guard at the NFL, Andy.
Why is that?
Because the arm length, height, size, all of these measurables now qualify as necessary against the ginormous Keon White plus freaks of nature carved from soapstone absolute juggernaut brohemoths that are coming off the edge, up the gut, and after your quarterback.
So let me ask you then, if he was so obviously a guard, like he's just got guard written all over him, why was he playing tackle in the highest level of football that college provides?
I don't know. Why was Isaiah Wynn doing the same thing 6-7 years ago?
Because they're guys that are potential tackles. Now, Isaiah Wynn, there were some injuries involved. Will Campbell's been the starting left tackle for 3 years at LSU.
First of all, love everything he says. Love the way he presents himself. Love his posture. Love the speed. Love the power. All of it.
But his arms are too short.
I don't know. It's
T-Rex
not just that.
Campbell, like you, Hart. How many did he bench? 62?
I got to tell you, sometimes I wonder, does he even need Ted or me? I don't know if you need an audience either. I think you can be the audience. The radio show all at once.
I have been accused by many over the years that I could argue with myself, that I could legit have an argument with myself and just...
Dear Mrs. Hart, we appreciate you.
She is an absolute saint.
God bless Deidre. She's amazing.
Also, later on, by the way, we'll get to that Saturday Night Live clip that you guys were promoting about... A
couple of beers.
I feel like Stiz and I were way ahead of the curve on this. I feel like we've been...
Thank you.
We've had a prescription for a couple of beers for quite a long time.
Talking to Gary Gansett over here, that's why it was...
He always gets the plug-in.
Relatable.
#ad #Fitzy.
#GoodVibesOnly, #sponsor, #RhodeIslandLife. Thank you. Nice Family Feud ding right there. Look, Andy... There's a chance. There's a team that may allow him to kick out to tackle. It says, "Yep, we saw the way he played. His leverage is so good. His trunk is so immovable.
Why not us?
No
why
way
not
it doesn't
now?
Matter." But also the way that Vrabel talked about a guy whose measurables were almost the damn same, Peter Skoronski, it makes you think that they may
sounds like a fake name when you say that.
The funny thing was, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking like, "Ah, damn it, Skoronski, get in here!" Yeah.
Sounds like you're on KP
the rest of the week.
So you believe that Will Campbell, because he's a guard, is not worthy of the fourth pick in the draft. Is that your stance on this topic?
Luckily, I have another 6 to 7 weeks to hem-haw and canoodle and doodle over it. Put it this way. I am not 100% certain he is worthy of the fourth pick. There were people this weekend that rocketed up my imaginary draft chart because of their combine performances.
You told me on the rules of Fitzy watching the combine last week, don't fall in love with 40 times and combine
bench
scores.
Andy, the one that I love the most, and I should have added this one as a fifth, four words, ABTG, always believe the gauntlet. Anyone who shows out in the gauntlet, that's my favorite of all the combine exercises. People that show out in the gauntlet know how to play football.
I thought people that played football know how to play football. And I thought, I don't know, playing football at a high level in the SEC for 3 years.
I say the guy's going to be bagging groceries with Joe Castiglione at Shaw's? No, I just don't know if he's going to be worth the fourth overall pick at tackle for the Patriots.
I'd take him with the fourth pick. I'd prefer to take him with the sixth pick or the eighth pick if those are options with a trade down.
If seven's on the table,
but I'm all in on Will Campbell. I think he should be part of a rebuilt Patriots offensive line, and that doesn't eliminate free agent additions at the position, and that's where we're going next here on WEEI Afternoons. Boston Herald. Great Sunday notes from Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. Basically everything they heard, Patriots related, plans related, free agency, draft, coaching structure, money spent, money not spent, the whole damn thing. We'll dive into that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.